Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Rod.
Basically, what we're trying to do in this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Okay. Everybody's excited. We have beautiful weather out there and low humidity for one more day, although it's coming back. And everybody's out drinking their Chardonnay.
Yeah. Oh, and why would that be?
That would be because today is International Chardonnay Day. I'm glad you asked. It's International Chardonnay Day. One of numerous holidays that pop up throughout the year, but today's International Chardonnay Day. Mike and I had a question, though, right before we came on. International Chardonnay Day is designated as the Thursday before Memorial Day in the U.S. Our question is, if it's the Thursday before Memorial Day in the U.S., how can it be international? And is Memorial Day celebrated around the world or in other countries? I mean, it's a celebration of the sacrifices the military made, so maybe so. We don't know. So if you're out there and listening to the show live tonight, which is May the 23rd, Thursday, and it's 7:02 right now, Eastern Daylight Time. If you're out there listening live, then send us an email or give Mike a call and let us know if they do celebrate it. We don't know. It's a question that we brought up to each other, and neither one of us had an answer. So, International Chardonnay Day today. So enjoy your extra oaky, buttery Chardonnay, or pick up one that is un-oaked and crisp and clean and refreshing, and whatever way you enjoy your Chardonnays. I like both. I enjoy the big, buttery, extra fermentation Chardonnays as much as I enjoy the crisp, clean, little acidic Chardonnays. So it's International Chardonnay Day today.
Wasn't there another kind of question that we had on these national days? Why one website can say, you know, oh, it's National Wine Day or National Chardonnay Day, you know, the national ones, but then another site will go, oh, no, that's not until November, you know.
Exactly.
If it's a national day, did somebody get together and just get everybody to agree with it? Or did I, you know, just wake up one day and go, you know what, today is National All About Wine Day. And, you know, it's not, where else is it recognized? Because then somebody else will post something different. But, hey,
exactly.
That would be something.
Good point. Good point. We were talking about that. And to promote that even more, May 25th, which is coming up in 3 days, is National Wine.
Hello? All I heard was National Wine. And then there's no audio. I do not hear anything. Let me see if I lost connection here. Hold on, folks. I know. Let me make sure I still have... you're in and out. Are you there? Yeah, I heard that 100%. Hey, Ron, can you hear me? Oh, no. You can't. I don't hear you. I heard a little blip in there. You were talking or saying something, but I do not hear anything from you. And I don't know if you can hear me. I heard Blog Talk Radio sound effect, though. Let me try another one. Let me try the clock. Yeah, I can hear that. Ron, can you hear me? God, this is going to be good. Oh, boy. Ron, I don't know if you're hearing me or not. I can hear Blog Talk Radio. I cannot hear your audio. If you have a minute to jump into the chat thing and just say, yeah, I can hear you, that'll let me know at least on this end, but I cannot hear you. And if I don't hear from you, then I'll be puzzled here. Oh, boy. Here we go. No audio from Ron. And he disconnected. So give us a minute here. He's probably reconnecting and going to join the show as soon as he can reconnect. Probably something. I know he's on a laptop, but there could be something going on there. And we'll wait for him to reconnect, and you got to go through a whole procedure. You have to type in this, I don't know, it's 100-something digit PIN number, call a special number, and all that kind of stuff, and then that reactivates the show and puts it back on air. So we'll wait for him to do that. In the meantime, I was going to mention that there he is.
I'm back.
And
yeah. I don't think that was Blog Talk Radio. I think that's my computer. My computer has been acting up. I talked to the boys yesterday, you know, our cigar friends. I was talking to them last night, and it kicked me off the conversation with them like 5 times. I had to get back in and hook back up and all that. And it did it on this one here. And finally, it showed that I was disconnected, and so I clicked back into it, and it brought me back on. But I think there's something with the computer that is dropping connection for some reason. I don't know what it is or what it could be.
Do you turn it off all the time, or do you leave it on, you know, constantly? Do you shut it down every once in a while?
Yeah, I close the lid at night and shut it down, and then log back in the morning. Okay. So it's not on all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, that's always exciting. I think it's going to be – I don't think it's Blog Talk Radio this time. It would be nice to blame them, but I don't think it was their fault this time.
It happened yesterday. So.
Yeah, it was happening to me yesterday while I was talking to them. And so it's one of those – I see that. Yeah, there's where I went. It's just one of those things. So, as we were saying, and unless I disappear again, National Wine Day. National Wine Day is listed on some of the calendars, and some of the calendars it is not listed. National Wine Day is May the 25th, and it's... I don't know. I'd say half the calendars I look at for National Wine Day says May 25th. The other half don't even have it listed. And one that we looked up said it started in 2009, May 25th, 2009. They don't know the source. Well, Mike and I were just going through our mental notes there, and we think the source might be All About Wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's when we started, right around that time. And to celebrate wine, we said, well, this is all about wine. Let's just have a National Wine Day to celebrate our coming on the air. And yep. I think someone might have picked that soundbite up. And here we are.
Yeah. Still celebrating.
So, yeah. So it's we will, since they say they don't know how it started, All About Wine will take credit for it. It was Mike and I talking about it back in 2009, and it became a national holiday. That's probably why some of the sites don't have it on there. They just, you know, there's quite a few of them that do have it, but there's some that don't, and, you know, and that's probably the reason. So, National Wine Day coming up on the 25th of May, and it's national, not international. Chardonnay is international. This is national. So we got that coming up. June the 8th, which is still a week away, but that's National Rosé Day. Mark your calendars for that. So you can have a National Rosé Day. And that's reason for that is because the days start getting hot. So they start celebrating rosé when it's getting hotter. But, again, they don't have any records or anything of why National Wine Day was started. So we're going to take credit for it. Well, let's see what else we got here. Let's see what other national. Let me look at a couple other sites here while I've got this up, see if there's anything at the end of May that might be some more national holidays, because, well, we know this doesn't really bring them up like it's supposed to. Oh, a wine advent calendar, too. We've all seen advent calendars that for the month before Christmas. And you turn over the page, and it can be, you know, just a little pop out, and there'd be a stocking there, or a little pop out, and there'd be a little sleigh, picture of a sleigh underneath, or another one, a picture of a reindeer. And at the end of the, on Christmas Eve night, you open up the last one, and Christmas is the next day, and you can, kids get all excited and go to bed early so they can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They have wine advent calendars for whiskey, which I saw a couple years ago. Well, it's more than that now. It's been 5 or 6 years. I saw a wine advent calendar for whiskey, and it was different types of whiskeys and stuff like that. I saw one for scotch, different scotch, and let's see, beer. There's a wine advent calendar for beer. Obviously, you keep these things, they're bigger, and you keep them, well, like beer, you keep them in the refrigerator, and you have a new beer every night. Scotch, whiskeys is enough in the bottle for 2 6-ounce pours, 12-ounce bottle for you and a mate. And now I just saw a wine advent calendar for wine. It's a coming out, let's see, where is it? A wine advent calendar for 2024. And it says it's 24 nights, 24 mini bottles, and 24 opportunities to sip and explore your way through premium wines sourced from the best wine regions all around the world. So wine advent calendars. I don't know how big the glasses are, or how big the bottles are, how big the pour is. It just shows one style here. Oh, there's another style. So there's more than one out there. Winn-Dixie wine advent calendar. That's strange. So, but that is available now. That is now ready for pre-order. So if you're looking at a wine advent calendar, it's set for pre-order. Does Costco still have a wine advent calendar? Well, I guess not. They don't still have it. Little thing here. If they had, I never knew Costco had one to begin with. But, you know, they ask, all these different stores have it. You know how Internet is. So Best wine advent calendars of 2023. This is 24. We don't care how good they were last year. So, holidays. 2024 wine days and months. This particular site is Vino Voyager. And they have National Wine Day on here. And they also have International Chardonnay Day, Thursday before Memorial Day. And, as they all do, it's the 24th of May is the anniversary of the Judgment of Paris. And for those of you who don't know what that is, which, you know, if you're listening to the program and if you know anything about wine, you are probably familiar with it. But quickly, it was back in 73, but I'm probably wrong. It was in the 70s sometime. The Judgment of Paris, a big wine tasting over in France, and the European wineries, particularly France, won categories every year. They were number one in Chardonnays, number one in Cabernets, number one in all that stuff. And this particular year, why 70? Mike, if you get a chance, Judgment of Paris, what year that was. But they invited wineries from the United States, like they always do. A couple of wineries from the United States joined, and guess what? They won. They won the Chardonnay and the Cabernet, number one in both categories, which shocked, to say the least, the French and the world. That was the beginning of putting California on the map. It started to become a time when California was showing that they could make good wines. Am I still on? You hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I heard.
You are.
I heard. Mm-hmm. Okay.
May 24th, 1976.
May 24th? Okay. So that's 76. No, that's mm-hmm. a year. Okay, 76. I knew it was in the 70s. I thought it was in the earlier 70s. I didn't. Okay. So, but then a couple of California wines actually put California on the map. People started to look at California for a little bit more quality at that time, and particularly Napa. They both came from Napa. And that was the beginning of that was the beginning of California getting really expensive in their wines. If you want to know the truth about it, I was out there about that. I moved away from California in 81. I moved away from California. So it was about that time that the prices in California started to jump up. They figured, hey, we can win international tastings in France. We can raise our prices. And so they did. But that, 76, okay, May 24, 76, the Judgment of Paris, famous. And there's been a movie about the Judgment of Paris. I think that's the name of the movie, wasn't it? Judgment of Paris? I can't remember. But it's quite a thing for the United States and for California, not so much for Paris. They were quite distraught after that. Okay, so I said I'm going to make up a calendar of the holidays, still trying to find all of them. Every time I look at a different site or every time I look at something new, I end up finding more holidays, and so I have to go back on the map and on my chart and change them, and I'll get it done eventually, I promise. Okay, so just information tonight, just some stuff. Don't have a guest. We've had a couple of real good guests last couple of weeks, and then April's been a lost month. I don't know, did I mention that my hand... That's the reason we lost a couple of weeks in April. My hand, I got bit by a cat. Cat bites are horrible. Cats contain so much bacteria in their mouth. And when they bite you, the skin seals up around it when on deep bites, and it just holds all that bacteria in. And that's what happened to me. And my hand swelled to about three times its size, and I had to get antibiotics intravenously. And I went to the hospital, and the doctor operated on my hand and cleaned out all the bacteria and everything. And then it was left open for 6 days afterwards so that they can have the cultures checked out. And finally, I was released from the hospital, and then I had to have it taken care of every day. Someone came by, changed the bandage, changed the packing. Last Friday, I was released from the home health care, and Monday, I was released from the doctor. So it's 95%. I still can't make a complete fist. I still can't hold a golf club right in my left hand, but I am progressing very well, and hopefully it will be soon. But that's what happened in April, so we fell behind. But we lost some guests that were scheduled for those months in April. And then we had Blog Talk Radio issues. We, what was it, like 2 or 3 weeks in a row there, Blog Talk Radio acted up on us, and we could not get any good connection. And so we are trying to get those hooked back up. We had a guest from England on a week or 2 weeks ago today. And last week, Alfie from New York was a good guest also. And so we are online here and get things back together. But today, info, just some bits and pieces to pass on to you. First one here, this is from the Wine Economist, and the article is called The Big and Hot Guide to Wine 2024. And it starts out, when you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not. This is State of Industry from the this year's session of the Unified Wine and Grape Symposium. This is just some information from that that I found very interesting. I thought you might find it interesting too, since you're wine drinkers here. This is 52 weeks that ended in February 24th, 2024. This is taken from the May issue of the Wine Business Monthly. And these are just some they made. This is total measured sales for the 52 weeks that ended in that period. The volume, or the value, was down by 2.9% over the previous year, and the volume was down 4.2% over the previous year. Now, when you start looking at $15.4 billion as the value, 2.9% is quite a bit of money. And when you start looking at 142 million 9-liter cases, 4.2% is quite a bit of the volume. 9-liter case is your standard case. That's 12 750 bottles is 9-liter, or 4 jugs is 9-liter. It's just, it's a standard that is used for all this. So these are the categories. This is what I wanted to tell you about. The big wines in various categories measured by value are as follows. This is cost, not value. Domestic wines during that 52-week period sold $11.1 billion versus imported wines, which sold $4.3 billion. So domestic wine was, you know, 2.5 times, a little over 2.5 times the amount of imported wines. So we're buying U.S. wines, you know, quite a bit. Among the imports, Italian wine, $1.4 billion. New Zealand wine, $690 million. Big difference there. France comes in third, $637 million. Now, Italian wines, $1.4 billion. That surprised me. I didn't expect Italian wines to be in first, let alone by that much more. Among domestic wines, California, $10 billion of sales in that 52-week period. Second place was Washington State at $509 million. And third place, Oregon at $290 million. Again, I am surprised at the difference in the numbers, more so than anything else. $509 million to $10 billion for California. That is just amazing. Although California is wine growing. By grape varieties, this is interesting too. It was to me. It might not be to you. By grape varieties, Cabernet Sauvignon, number one, selling $3.1 billion in the 52-week period. Chardonnay comes in second at $2.6 billion. Pinot Noir, $1.5 billion. Sauvignon Blanc was fourth at $1.4 billion. So the grapes sold. But, you know, I bet if you drop down to fifth, sixth, seventh, you're down into the millions there because, you know, the volume has ate up a lot with those. Blends. Red blends, obviously, would be the highest at $1.9 billion. Two, which surprises me, is rosé blends at $6.8 million, with white blends coming in third at $237 million. I would have thought that the white blends would have been more than the rosés, but no, I was wrong. In fact, it's over two times more. And last category here, by price point, by the glass. Super premium wines, they classify as by the glass, $11 to $15, $3.7 billion of sales. Premium, which is $8 to $11.99 or $12, $2.5 billion. And then popular wines, the ones that most people buy, which is $4 to $7.99, is $2.4 billion. So that's that and a premium. Was it $11.99? No, $11.99. Premium wines, $8 to $10.99. That was popular wines and premium wines right there, $2.4, $2.5 billion. But super premiums, by far, by the glass, sold more than the other two, so that's a good thing. Good thing that people are buying the more expensive wines and enjoying those. So I just thought that was some interesting points there on what was happening with wine. Yeah, one more thing along that same article here: the growth of different wines from different areas in the world. South Africa at a 5.5% growth. Portugal, a 3.4% growth. And Chile, a 2.5% growth. So those areas are picking up. But South Africa, 5.5. That's really, you ask people name wines from South Africa, and very few come to mind. So okay. Let me get out of this and to the next one here. Let's see, that's not the one I want. Let's go to this. And this I found interesting. We've talked about cuttings and cuttings of wines and stuff and how they propagate. And you take cuttings from wines and you root it and put it in the ground. You take those cuttings and you can graft those cuttings. If you don't want to root it, you can graft onto rootstock and get growth there. Well, here's a guy in New Zealand who was visiting James Milton. He is classified as one of the pioneers of organic viticulture in New Zealand. And he was visiting his daughter's, let me see here, I'm pretty sure it was his daughter's vineyard. His daughter's vineyard in Adelaide Hills in Australia. He's done a variety of cuttings and growing different ones. Chenin Blanc, Chardonnay, Voynier, Riesling, Gewurztraminer, Pinot Noir, all these he's doing in New Zealand. In 2019, June 2019, when he visited his daughter in Adelaide, he took some clippings and took them back to Auckland in New Zealand. And in those cuttings was a Savagnin vines, S-A-V-A-G-N-I-N, Savagnin vines from his daughter's vineyard. And he planted these in 2020, and he treated them with lime sulfate beforehand to remove any pathogens. In 2021, he took them to a local nursery to have them grafted for him. So he then planted these in his vineyard in Gisborne, in New Zealand. Well, in 2023, he contacted another nursery about grafting cuttings from those vines. And that nursery said, whoa, wait a minute. These are biological risk to New Zealand. So they got a hold of the Ministry for Primary Industries. And they said, told the MPI, Ministry for Primary Industries, that, or the MPI said, there are many pests and diseases, including bacterial, fungal, viral insects, which, if introduced into New Zealand, could dramatically affect the production of grapevines grown in the wine industry. And they arrested him. Now, when you bring clippings into New Zealand, there is a 16-month quarantine on the plants, and they also have to be registered and all that stuff to be sure there's no diseases or anything in it. And they said that Milton's lime sulfite treatment was not sufficient. So they arrested him and he went to court. And he argued that they were inert. They were not going to cause any problems. And he did not have an intention of selling them to a commercial place. He's just going to plant them himself. And they fined him. And said, nope, too bad. Was not something you did on a whim. This is premeditated. And because it was premeditated, the knowledge is sufficient to know that there is a risk that is far greater than the average New Zealander because you are a grower. And so they find him and sentence him to 5 months community detention, which means he has to stay within a certain locale and adhere to curfews and stuff for 5 months. And he was fined $15,000, which I don't know what the equivalent in U.S. dollars would be. I didn't look that up. But $15,000. The judge did praise him for cooperating with the MPI and the clippings and vines and all that stuff. But, boy, they're serious about that stuff. And I don't know. The United States probably is, too. I know California is pretty critical about it, but I don't know how critical we are in other places around the United States. But, boy, New Zealand just jumped right in there
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I do have, besides a very good memory, I do calculate conversions of currency. It's a mental thing. I just study.
It's a gift.
Yes, thank you. $15,000 New Zealand dollars is equal to approximately $9,148 in the U.S. So
oh.
It's definitely less. It's 61 cents per New Zealand dollar.
Oh,
so,
wow. That's,
yeah.
But still, 9,000, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a little piece of change there. So,
all right.
So, thank you. So there you go. He's fined and 5 months community detention. And this article, let me tell you the date of this article. This article was 22nd of May. So that was yesterday this article came out. So this he'll be in community detention through the summer, it looks like. Which probably won't hurt him. He'll just work on his vineyard all through the summer, and his detention time will be up before he knows it. But he won't be able to go visit his daughter in Australia. Okay, I found that an interesting bit of information there. Let's see the next one here. I mentioned the Napa Fest that's going on, I think, this weekend, isn't it? Or was it last weekend? Oh, it was last weekend, that music festival in Napa. They got another one coming up, which you might enjoy. This is Music in the Vineyards celebrates the 30th anniversary of chamber music. It's a chamber music festival, and it's going to be August the 2nd through the 25th. It's almost a whole month there. Since 1995, they have been doing this. Music has always been about creating intimate and unforgettable experiences, and chamber music is a beautiful way to celebrate it in the vineyards, they're saying. This is by co-artist director Michael Adams. Opening nights at Frog's Leap Winery, that's August the 2nd. And then the String Quartet Extravaganza, each is featured on a Wednesday. There's different ones that are featured on Wednesday. Revisiting the Classics will be part of the month-long chamber music. Not So Silent Cinema is August the 10th. They will play some classic silent films and have the musicians play for it. And that's really, really great stuff. I have to make a comment on this. I had the opportunity a number of years ago, I had an opportunity to go down and listen to the Florida Orchestra play while they had an enormous screen on the back of the stage showing Phantom of the Opera. And the original silent Phantom of the Opera. It was fantastic. I was thrilled the way it came out. So if you ever get an opportunity to see a silent movie with an orchestra or something, music added to it, it's well worth the experience. It really is pretty cool. Community engagement and education will be on August the 17th. With all sorts of stuff going on there. And they're also telling you to bring a kazoo because they're going to have some music you can play along with on a kazoo. And pre-concert talks and all sorts of stuff on August 17th. August the 10th and 15th will be Music Illuminated. An evening of music, film, and comedy, which sounds like fun. The 2024 Fellowship Spring Quartet from Juilliard will be playing at different opportunities, as well as free workshops and concerts around the valley. And then the grand finale, August the 25th, from Bach to Brazil. It's a dazzling celebration at Inglenook Winery. So, some really cool stuff coming up on in August for the chamber music there. So mark your calendars, and if you're planning on a trip out there, check and see, maybe one of these might be part of your trip. You can go learn more at www.musicinthevineyards.org. And that's coming up in August. Okay, and let's see. Oh, this I want to tell you about. I heard about this, and I saw this article here, and I had to share it with you. But Chablis had some horrible hailstorms just a couple days ago, I guess. It was the date of this article here. This is the 22nd also. And just, you know, 2 or 3 days ago, they had some terrible hailstorms. Says assessing the damage 3 weeks. Oh, well, this is 3 weeks after the violent weather confirmed that around 1,000 hectares of vines were affected, which is roughly a sixth of the Chablis Appalachian, which covers 5,800 hectares and comprises 20 village communes. The Chablis Grand Cru climates were worst hit sites. When the hail struck the villages of Fontenay, Pré-Chablis, Villy, and La Chapelle, oh, geez, I don't speak French, and I destroy these, Vapenay have seen the biggest damage. There's also damage in Chablis, Maligny, Bain, Lignore, with some damage in the Chablis Grand Cru and Chablis Premier Cru also affected. Wow. Estimated that around 400 hectares of vines were affected by losses of more than 80%. It was very localized, though. Early reports say the hailstones were the size of ping pong balls, which ravaged the vineyard in a matter of minutes on May 1st as a violent supercell went through. Storm damaged shoots and stripped leaves from the vines, leaving them vulnerable to mildew and particularly humidity. It's taken weeks to see how the vines have recovered. Still a long ways to go into harvest, and they already know that they'll need to be constantly vigilant for the rest of 2024. In the second half of April, I've seen some incidents of frost across. The damage was very localized, even though the vine leaves had started to unfold. So they've had some tough times in the Chardonnay region, the Chablis region of France this year so far, which may result in higher prices, which usually it does because they don't have as much of a crop, and so the prices go up. I don't know how it will affect the crop itself. They point out that they had two good harvests, 2022 and 2023, were particularly good, which will help mitigate the impact of this storm, and we'll see how 2024 plays out. But as of now, it's not a good thing. It does not look good in the Chablis regions of France. Okay, let's see. This one, yes. The wineries around the world have been hoping that Generation Z and X are going to help the wine industry. They hope it's going to give it a boost. They hope that Gen Z is going to start drinking more wine and not having to rely on the boomers, because the boomers have been carrying the wine business for a number of years, and it some of the boomers are dying off, and so therefore they're hoping to pick up the slack with Gen Z. And it's not working. It's not picking up like they had hoped. So there is a new thing going into wine tasting, and it started in London, where they are doing wine rave. Now, if you remember the rave from a few years ago, they were very popular. I haven't heard too much about raves lately, but the wine raves were raves themselves, where you just, get together and have loud pounding music in a warehouse or studio or something with pumping beats and local artists playing and stuff like that. They've started that, only it's being served with wine. No cocktails, no beers, it's wine, which might be a good idea. First event took place last year, and it was priced at £26 for a glass of one of their wines, food, and tunes. It was dubbed by the Times of London as one of the golden tickets for the summer, and they're set to return this year. But that's not the only rave in town. London's not the only one. In fact, they're starting to look at a lot of other places. Italy is looking at hosting wine rave, as also a couple, three places in England. New York has looked at doing it. They found that it was a great idea, and so they have taken up on stateside. Don't we always? In their introducing wine to nightclubbers who would normally be looking at ready-to-drink mixes or even just bottled water, they've just got wine out there now. And it's starting to catch on. It's starting to catch on more places. It's working to familiarize the Gen Zers with wine and try to get them to drink more wine. This is the purpose of it. This is what they're trying to do, is trying to get the Gen Zers to be more conscious of the wine market and the wines out there. And the raves are something that they like and do. And I've been to raves. They've been around for a long time. But there's all sorts of stuff out there that they can go to. But a wine rave is the newest, and it's started in England, and it's been tried in, Berlin and Italy and Australia and where else? Spain. Here's one in Spain. And where else did they say? New York, obviously, I said that. But it's something that's catching on. And as long as it's getting the Gen Z into wines, I'm sure we will see more and more of them. I don't know how to get on the list. It'll start happening. Let me see what else I was... speaking of Gen Z and millennials have been drinking wine, but not as much as, again, boomers, baby boomers have. And because of that, it's creating a problem with wineries. Article here said that a couple of wineries have shut down because they were actually trying to market to the millennial and Gen Z market, and it wasn't working. They weren't selling. They're still online, but one of them is Tarpon Sellers. And the other is, I don't know. They just keep talking about Tarpon Sellers. Where's the... here we go. Brindle Wines, B-R-E-N-D-E-L. Tarpon Sellers and Brindle Wines are both closing, but they were marketing to the Gen Z and millennials. Upbeat type bars, and the labels on their wines were bright and crabs and stuff like that. So, not working, and they're closing them down. So they're looking at younger drinkers to save the market online. Hopefully, if it's not going to be working, having them come to the winery, they're going to try to boost it by going online and seeing if that won't help and salvage it there. But, you know, it's the old thing. The millennials and Gen Zs are not buying wines like they, well, like the boomers. And so it's creating an issue out there. Okay, let's see. Where is it? Oh, here we go. This is the one that I shook my head about. Let's go back to Dave. Well, we'll do this one. This is feds are raising that health authorities in the U.S. will label wine as unsafe to consume quantity. Yes, you heard me. Feds prepare to call wine unsafe. And this is dated yesterday. Tuesday, day before yesterday. It's not a real long article, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. If you think wine business is bad now, wait. Next year, the U.S. government dietary guidelines might say that there is no safe level of alcohol consumption. Which, whoa. The World Health Organization already made this statement last year, and analysts have linked it to declining wine sales. But few non-Islamic governments have called all drinking unsafe. The U.S. is the world's largest wine market. So to have the government here look at alcohol the way that the Islamic countries do would be devastating for the industry here. Obviously, the current U.S. dietary guidelines say men can safely have 2 drinks per day and women can have 1. But current guidelines are already pretty anti-alcohol, and they recommend you don't start drinking if you have not started, and that alcohol can cause health problems. So now the guidelines, if they change, they will see a drop in consumption, especially at home, they're saying. And this will primarily be with the younger consumers, again, the millennials and Gen Zs, that are already cutting back. And, you know, maybe not have that wine for special occasions, maybe not have it at all. Well-placed source has seen the wording of the recommendation of no safe level of alcohol for the 2025 dietary guidelines. They didn't reveal the source, but members of Congress believe it and appear to be concerned. Oh my gosh, you know, maybe we should all get together and tell Congress that the purpose of Congress is not to watch out for our safety, the purpose of Congress is to regulate bills and stuff like that, but not to sit there and tell us how much or what little we can drink on wine. Just last month, the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability sent a letter demanding the documents that are being used in reviewing the relationship between alcohol and health. Now, this is supposed to review the alcohol dietary guideline recommendations and not the science. They're just looking at the... Instead, it has delegated the review to the Interagency Coordinating Committee on the Prevention of Underage Drinking. Government. This is exactly how the WHO's anti-alcohol statement last year came to be, okay? WHO's communication on alcohol issues is an international temperance group called Movendi. This was founded in 1851. Research proving that people who consume a moderate amount of alcohol are healthier than teetotalers. It's called the J curve. You can look it up. And that's been ignored. A misleading population study from the UK that emphasizes the ill health of alcoholics has been played up. Hint, the word alcoholics, people who overdrink, not those who just have a glass of wine or two glasses of wine a day. And it's worked. When you start searching information for this article, you type in safe level of alcohol consumption. The first thing you're going to see is there is no safe level of alcohol. It's already starting to come in that way. So, last week at the anti-alcohol conference held in Washington, D.C., they had a seminar entitled Alcohol and Cancer, a New Litigation Strategy Against Large Producers. You want to translate that, instead of large producers, put in names like Gallo and the Jackson Family Wine. And, you know, you can name about five or six of the big ones around the country, which controls most of them. Food guidelines has been going on for a long time, and politicking about it has been going on just as long. In 1981, President Ronald Reagan attempted to classify ketchup as a vegetable, so the federal government can cut $1.5 billion from the budget for funding public school lunches. It didn't end up happening, but the USDA to this day considers pickle relish a vegetable. That's a good example right there. Alcohol industry is also fearful of the presidential election. Why? Because both Joe and Donald claim to have never taken a drink in their lives. So therefore, alcohol doesn't mean anything to them. They both cite that there's a history of alcoholism in their families. And Trump's brother died of alcohol-related causes. And as a child, Biden lived with an uncle who was a heavy drinker. And Hunter is notorious for his drinking problems. So they both are pretty much anti-alcohol. So if these things come up before the president, guess what's going to happen? So it needs to be stopped then. There's something interesting, though. Oversight and Accountability Committee Chairman James Comer and Liza McClain, Chairwoman of the House Subcommittee on Healthcare and Financial Services. McClain is a hard right Trump acolyte, but she's also Catholic. And it says here, and I quote, Catholics refused to give up drinking even during U.S. prohibition. So, few wineries survived America's disastrous attempt at outlawing alcohol, but it didn't make Sacramento wine during Prohibition. So, new dietary guidelines are not due until 2025. The suggestion? Contact your congressional representative now. Let them know. Alcohol, wine, is not dangerous. It's not going to cause you to die. It's not going to give you cancer. One or two drinks is not going to make you an alcoholic. It is something that they need to throw away and not proceed with. It's a little bit ridiculous. And now's the time to start doing this, because as you get closer, it's going to get more and more people behind this. And we need to nip this in the bud before it gets too far. It's a little bit ridiculous. So there you go. It's looking at doing new dietary guidelines with alcohol, and wine is going to be caught up in the swirl of all this. So again, contact your congressman or representative and let him know. And here we go. It's 8 o'clock. So
yes, it is. Okay, so that's going to do it for this Thursday. Oh, God, I almost said Saturday. It's not, well, I mean, if you are listening to it. That's going to do it for this Thursday, the 23rd of May. We will be back on the 30th, but the 27th is a national holiday. I don't think we covered, did we cover the national holiday, Memorial Day itself?
No, we didn't. We talked about wine holiday, but not Memorial Day.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You have to, most people have to work on the national wine days, but most people are off on, hopefully, I mean, you know.
I did mention Memorial Day because I asked anybody who might know if other countries celebrate it.
Yeah, yeah.
To let us know.
Yeah, we are celebrating it here, and that is Monday. I guess you could call it celebrating. I don't know. It's,
well, yeah.
It's, just odd
it's
to...
a rather somber holiday, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's you're right. That's a strange word, strange approach. Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. But that's Monday, so we have a 3-day weekend coming up, and we just want everybody to be safe and be responsible, and you know, remember what the 27th is about. So Monday, have a good weekend and a week ahead, and we will talk to you all next Thursday, May the 30th, right here on Blog Talk Radio, and everybody. Every place else that we are live, 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's all about wine. Thank you and have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
And thank you for listening.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
That's it. Ta-da! Oh, go to the great.